This is Ifia Wangaza, the national chairperson of the Pacifica National Boards Affiliates Task Force, and calling the meeting of July 9th to order at approximately 8:15, July 9th, 2009. If we could... ordinarily, we would say call the roll, but I don't see much point in just calling absent people.
We probably should do some sort of roll for the archives for people that are listening in.
To establish who was absent or who was present?
Who was present.
So if we could just announce ourselves and the stations that we represent, I think that that would satisfy that requirement. Again, I'm Ifia Wangaza. I represent WMXP 95.5 FM as an affiliate and serve as the affiliate representative on the Pacifica National Board.
Are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Okay.
Ev Chapto and George Ryder from KPFT.
And Teresa Allen from KPFT.
Alonzo Brown, WPFW.
Ursula Rudenberg, Pacific Affiliates Coordinator and Network Services.
So am I to understand we have nobody from WBAI, no one from KPFK, no one from KPFA?
Apparently not. I don't know the clicking that we just heard, whether that was someone coming or going, but I'm sure, or I would hope that folk will announce themselves as they come on. The agenda format that we used in the past was not reset, but it is what I'd like to go by for this evening's meeting, and to add whatever other items, specific items that folk might want to add.
Agenda out, I guess, about an hour and a half ago.
Okay, I didn't.
But it is the standard agenda that we had agreed to use, that we were going to use.
Okay. I didn't see it. So, Ursula, you had an item that you wanted to add. So where would you like to put it?
I don't know. I
put it after the report from, I put roll call, approval of agenda, approval minutes, report from the chair, report from the affiliate coordinator, and then mission and goals. Then new business, set meeting, and adjourn.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, we probably won't take too much time with it today because we're a pretty small group.
Yeah.
So that's fine with me. Sounds good.
Okay. Then can we approve the agenda as it was previously distributed?
I move that we approve the agenda as just read.
Afia, can we find out who has either arrived or left so we know who we're speaking together with?
This is Grace. I'm listening in.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hi.
Hi, Grace.
Hi.
Anyone else? Okay. So if there are no objections to approving the agenda as it was just read, then...
I'm sorry, but we were our phone went off for a while. We didn't even hear the agenda. Would you read it again, please?
Was it online?
Teresa said that she sent it out about an hour and a half ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but it's very simple. It's roll call, approval of agenda, approval of minutes, report from the chair, report from affiliate coordinator, mission and goals, new business, and set new meeting date.
Sounds good to me.
And then adjourn.
Okay. So are there any objections to approving the agenda as it was just read? Hearing no objections, then we will proceed according to the agenda as just read. Where in the next item would be the approval of minutes?
These minutes are from June the 13th, and they were sent out immediately after the meeting, like the next day or somewhere around midnight. I tried to send them out as soon as I could get them ready, and I just sent them out an hour and a half ago again.
Is there any objection to approving the minutes from June 13th? Are there any additions to be made to those minutes, corrections? Hearing no objections, no corrections, no amendments, then I'll consider the minutes submitted for June 13th as having been approved. Okay. The next item, Madam Secretary?
Next item is report from the chair.
Uh-huh. Well, quite frankly, I don't have anything new to add. So I won't take time with that. I'll go, allow us to go directly to the program coordinator's report from regarding the Canada conference and whatever other comments along those lines that she'd like to make.
Okay, this is Ursula, and I was in, as you know, I was in Montreal last month, and what the conference was, a conference of the National Association of Community Radio and College Broadcasters in Canada, which is really their only national-sized organization that addresses community and college radio. And
National Association of what?
Hold on, I can give you the official name. It's the National Association for Community Radio in Canada. And
oh,
if you want the official name, it's called the National Community Radio. Actually, I can't remember right now. I'm sorry. My brain's kind of tired. But the acronym is NCRC.
Thank you.
And it's basically the National Community Radio Association. And they kind of lump together college and community, and college tends to be a little bit more dominant than community. But it was very interesting because Canada is so similar to us, and yet it's also so completely different. And so in many ways it looks like what we're doing, and in some ways it's fundamentally very, very different approach to the whole issue. Community radio actually has a real legal and official classification in Canada with a certain set of certain vision attached to it. So that was very interesting, with certain protections and requirements that they had. One of the interesting requirements is that they're required to pay a certain number, play a minimum of Canadian music so that they're not dominated by United States music. So it's kind of interesting. But there were a lot of stations there. I think the conference had maybe about 300 to 500 people. And it had been suggested that this be the grassroots radio conference for this year, but that didn't really happen. It really was a conference of the Canadian Association. I think there were five of us Americans there, so that was kind of interesting. Norm Stockwell was there from WORT. Keith Rosendahl, who is from a former person from KCSB who has worked a lot with Pacifica, was one of the founders of Sprouts, and so it was interesting to see him there. And he's no longer in radio, but he has re-volunteered to help the affiliates program and to do work for for my office. So that was great. Jeremy Alderson, who is the gentleman who does the homeless marathon. David Barsamian, who gave a presentation, and Jim Ellinger, who's down in Austin, Texas. And so we were kind of like a little group of Americans. Frida Werden, who is an ex-American who lives in Vancouver now and does WINGS, which is the feminist program that we distribute, she is kind of like the elder of this association. And they had a large congressional meeting where they sat together and basically it was a board meeting in a sense with all the delegates of all of the stations voting on various things and electing a new board. And at the first of those meetings, Frida stood up and introduced me and Pacifica and asked me to speak about Pacifica, since a lot of the people are actually quite young and don't know about Pacifica. So I was given an opportunity right from the onset to introduce us to everybody, and really the presence of Pacifica was able to very successfully permeate the whole conference. I was in a lot of workshops, and people always gave me an opportunity to speak about Pacifica, and they were just extremely hospitable. And by the end, I think just about everybody at the conference understood, you know, that there was another network south of the border that wanted to communicate with them more. CKUT, which was the host station in Montreal, very, very impressive station. They've been speaking to us for several years about affiliating, and I have a feeling that that'll happen very quickly now. I mean, they basically reaffirmed that they were interested in doing that. We do have one affiliate in Western Canada who was extremely proud and vocal about the fact that they are an affiliate, and turns out are a very, very interesting station. They have a really wonderful producer there producing a show called Deconstructing Dinner, who's becoming quite a star, actually. And he the show basically traces the political and financial, you know, lines behind food marketing. And so I got a lot of producers to sign up to do Sprouts shows, and we did air our first Canadian Sprouts show about 2 weeks ago about Canadian mining, which mining's a big issue in Canada because all of the abusive mining companies are focused in Canada.
So they signed up to take Sprouts or do a Sprouts show?
To do shows.
To do them or air them?
To produce them.
Oh, okay.
Produce them. I found in general that it was a better strategy to talk to people about wanting to hear what they were doing, because the Canadians, understandably, are a little bit defensive about Americans and are quite interested in knowing that we are interested in them more than hearing that we want them to join our bandwagon. So I tended to focus more on that and just allow people to get to know us for a while. I think there's about four stations that have said they want to try and make the leap. So, you know, these things always take a little bit of time to manifest, but I think out of this conference we'll get four Canadian affiliates, which is actually a really great start.
Okay.
And thank you. The other interesting thing about Canada was that they have basically taken the AudioPort concept, and the association is making their own version of AudioPort, and so that they can begin exchange Canadian programs. And The other thing that was interesting was that they are making their own version of Free Speech Radio News. It's a newscast called Groundwire. So even though, you know, not everybody is aware of Pacifica, they are still following the tracks that we've laid down and developing them in Canada. So it was all very interesting, and I was reluctant to go to the conference because it just seemed like a lot of work. But I'm very, very glad I did, and I'm glad that you encouraged me to go, Grace, because once I was there, I realized that it's a really important contact for us to make, and we should, you know, be transcending this border pretty quickly, and that, you know, there's a lot going on up there that we should be connecting with. Okay, so that's Canada. Just for your information, I'm actually calling from Greenville, Mississippi. I'm down Grace's willingness to be flexible. I'm actually working out of an office in Greenville, Mississippi. And in my free time after work, I'm working with a group down here that has gotten a radio frequency, and helping them get this project off the ground and start to build this radio station. So after I get done here at night, I meet with people in the town and kind of trying to get the station going. And it is a really, you know, it's a quiet thing. It's at the beginning, but it's a very important that Pacifica be down here at the beginning of what really is going to become a southern network of community radio stations, and that, you know, the vision and the spirit of Pacifica is really there at the beginning. So it's a great gift to be here, and people here are being extremely hospitable. Also, other good news in terms of our southern effort, we had two stations that we thought we had lost, one group in Utah, Alabama, and one group in Albany, Georgia. And we had pretty much figured we'd lost those frequencies to somebody else. But within the last month, some developments have happened due to discussions I had at the NFCB with engineers and lawyers. And these incredible people, Michael Brown and Michael Cousins, have come through in spades. And it sounds like we are going to get Albany, Georgia, and Utah, Alabama, that we actually are going to be starting community radio stations there. So they have not gotten their permits yet, but they seem to be positioning bit by bit. We're edging into that position where they will get it. So that's very, very exciting.
So can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
Does that mean that the competing stations or institutions have withdrawn, or that they were able to build points above and beyond their competition?
Okay, let me try and give an answer that doesn't sound like Mars. It's very convoluted. In Albany, I don't actually know what happened. In Albany, what happened was that I told Michael Brown in Portland that Albany was just getting its ass kicked, you know. And for those of you who don't understand this process, basically, you know, when people apply for these radio licenses, a whole lot of people apply for the same place. So then it turns into, you know, kind of the FCC has to play Solomon and decide who gets it and who doesn't. And it's all based on a point system. Now, when we were in Albany, Michael determined that, based on technical points, that Albany had no chance, that our group, Charles Sherrod's group, didn't have a chance. However, he said there was some weird sort of loophole that if he did this, this, and this, he could try and buy some people off. Now, I didn't even understand it was so convoluted, and I didn't take it seriously, but Charles decided he wanted to do that. And so he got he asked me to get Michael Cousins to work with him, and Michael figured out how to wind his way through whatever it was so that they have to buy out two stations. So two stations who aren't motivated to stay in the fight, if Charles pays them, they'll go away. And that will leave Charles the last standing person in his area. Now, in Utah, Utah's a very interesting case, and I'll try and keep this brief, but there's such a thing as a... Okay, let me see how to say this. The way the FCC determines these things is that if you don't necessarily have to be competing for the same spot, but if you are competing with somebody who's competing... In other words, if you picture like an Olympic rings, how they're all connected, the ring on the left and the ring on the right aren't connected to each other, but they're connected to the other rings. And the same, so the FCC had eliminated Utah because they were weaker than a station that was at the other end of the chain. They weren't actually competing for the same space, but technically they ended up being eliminated. What happened was Michael Cousins got so... Michael Cousins is the lawyer that's been working with all this stuff. Michael got so pissed off by that that he went to the FCC and he challenged them and told them they could not eliminate our people because they were daisy chained with these other people. And the FCC, for the it was a precedent. The FCC changed its policy and put our guys back in the running.
Right.
Now they're not home free because they also put back they are still competing with the University of Alabama. So both of them are back in the running now. But our group will probably win because the University of Alabama already has a radio station and our group doesn't, which gives our group precedence. So I hope that wasn't too convoluted. So
no. I wanted to point out that first of all, was to say how glad I am to hear that, because that there were two contacts that I was supportive of when we went to the NFCB conference in Atlanta, and I took Ursula down to Albany to meet with Charles Sherrard, who is a friend of mine from the 60s. We both worked for SNCC, and asked Michael Brown about him when at the last NFCB conference, and that hadn't been resolved. So I'm very glad to hear that that whole process has matured in a favorable and constructive way.
Yeah, it's just fabulous. For those of you who don't know Charles Sherrod, if ever anybody deserved a radio station, this is the man. But what's really exciting is that this vision of Southern community radio stations does seem to actually bit by bit becoming close to a reality. And what's also exciting is that Pacifica is so there, on the ground up, and so it's just it's really a beautiful thing to be watching. So anyway, that's Mississippi.
well, no, that's Alabama and Utah. What my guess is that the Mississippi project that you're working on is the project that I can't remember her name, was our
Cindy
guest
Ayers.
Speaker.
Yes, Cindy Ayers.
Right, Cindy Ayers was our guest speaker.
Right.
Some time ago.
Right. She's it's the Delta Foundation. Right.
That's in where? What city?
Greenville.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you not in New York anymore?
I'm in Greenville for 1 month.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the Delta Foundation has given me an office here to work, and then at the end of the day, then we start working on the radio station. I'm still doing Pacifica affiliation work during the day. In fact, today we got a new affiliate, WVVVLP, in Martha's Vineyard. And
W Victory Victory Papa?
No, W Victory Victory Victory. LP in at Martha's Vineyard. And yesterday we finalized affiliation with WTJU in Charlottesville, Virginia. That was still left over from the NFCB meeting, but it took a while for it to finally get all straightened out.
That is WT, like in Tango, JU in Charlottesville, Virginia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Charlottesville, Virginia.
And that brings the total number of affiliates to what at this point?
I'm sorry, I don't know. I think it's about 155. I don't know, actually. I haven't sat down and counted for a while. But I would guess it's between 150 and 155.
Bravo.
Thanks.
Indeed.
Other announcements. I did submit a budget to Grace, and Ifia, I sent you a Word copy of it.
Yes, I can't. I can only open one document. I keep asking for the other one. If you send me the other one in PDF, I can open a PDF. I just can't.
Okay,
open
I sent you a Word. I sent you a Word form of it also. So that should. I can't imagine you would have trouble opening that up. It sounds like
I have,
you don't.
I got a narrative.
No, this is since you wrote to me. You wrote
okay.
to me today.
Yeah.
Okay, but I can also, I don't, anyway, all right. I don't know if you want, if we want to have a discussion about the budget or not today,
well,
but just to note that I have submitted it to Grace, and I did post it to the listserv as requested, so I don't know if any of you have had a chance to look at it, but it's posted on the files of the listserv. I've not had a great deal of discussion about it with anybody. I did speak about it briefly with Grace, got a little bit of feedback, and thank you, Grace, for that. But beyond that, I don't know. I don't know anything else about that.
What I would, Grace, will we be dealing with the budgets at the upcoming in-person meeting, or will it be the subsequent meeting?
I asked all the general managers, and I'm going to ask the LSPs to please have. I think I mentioned the PNB directors, but to have a draft budget ready for this in-person meeting, so we can review it. They won't be finalized until the September in-person meeting, but at least we should get a good look, a preview, at this upcoming in-person meeting.
Then I would urge task force members to look at and to email any comments that they have to Ursula and myself. So that I can have those for the in-person meeting, which is July 24th through the 26th. So if folks could get them to me, say, the 22nd, that would be helpful.
Ursula, before we move on, can I ask you, has Ames, Iowa heard anything new?
Yeah, Ames is doing really well. They got their frequency in Story City, which was outside of Ames,
mm-hmm.
and it did not reach Ames, but they took it as collateral in a sense. And now Roger, who is the guy doing it, he found a religious broadcaster who has a frequency that reaches Ames,
mm-hmm.
and has managed to convince the guy that they should trade frequencies.
Oh, my God.
And so the guy has agreed to do it. and so Roger is waiting. He also has to make some minor adjustments to it. But when he's finished, he'll have quite a large frequency, which will not only reach Ames, it'll reach Des Moines and reach all the way east on Highway 80 until it meets up with Brett's station in Iowa City. And
wow.
So we're going to basically be blanketing Highway 80 from central Iowa to the Mississippi with community radio.
Oh, right.
So, and then in southern Iowa, our man, what's his name, the guy who did the musical, has been chosen by the FCC, so he's going to be going from Des Moines down to the Missouri border along Highway 35. So we've been, like, hitting those highways in Iowa. So, yes, Ames looks very good. They are well on their way, and it's really just a formality now.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically in Ames.
Okay.
And he's actually thinking of buying his own radio tower in Ames to make money.
Wow.
So, yeah, Iowa is, we got it. Iowa is there.
Somebody told me we'd also made headway in Peoria.
Peoria. Where is Peoria?
Illinois or Missouri?
Yeah, we have a station in Peoria. That's Jeremy. Yeah. And we just heard that Oroville, California, which is the station that Mary, remember Marianne who was on one of the calls? She's the PD of KMUD.
Mm-hmm.
Her father has a low power station in Oroville, California. He just got his full power. So all in all, we just really have reason to be proud. Community radio really, really did, there is a whole new generation coming. We really
isn't this amazing, with especially with this economy,
yeah.
that these community radio stations are doing well.
Well, I wouldn't say they're doing well. Everybody is struggling like hell. But it's just, people understand the meaning of this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it, I don't know anybody who's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But people are doing it.
Well, what I mean by well is that they're trying, and because they're persistent, they are actually succeeding in getting these licenses, and that's wonderful.
Right. But I think that is a result of the Radio for People Coalition,
mm-hmm.
the combination of the various organizations, and then the participation of Michael Brown and Michael Cousins and John Krigler really donating, services that normally would be out of reach for everybody.
Have we heard anything from El Paso?
No. I don't know what's going on down there. I don't
okay.
know. That's a good question. I should call them. In Louisiana, we also have the Houma Indians. They also got theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And are they affiliated or...
I haven't spoken with them for a while. Everybody right now is trying to build stations. I haven't spoken with them. I don't know.
All right. Thank you for answering that question, those questions.
Okay. I'm finished unless there are other questions. I don't want to dwell too long on stuff. But
well, congratulations, Ursula. Your hard work is really paying off.
Thanks. Yeah, it's really a beautiful thing to see,
And we also should say, I think, some thanks to David Beaton because he did some of that legwork.
Yeah. David is the person who went to Albany and prepared that situation. Absolutely.
And also thanks to Afia Wangaza who just said, let's try this. So, bravo.
Well, we can say thanks, team, because I think we have a good process of feeding off of one another and keeping the energy flowing, which is what's necessary at this point, and I think what really accounts for the emergence of, and the growth of the community radio community. So, I think the next thing on the agenda is the mission and
goals.
Ursula, that was the item that you proposed, so why don't you talk about why you thought we ought to, think we ought to be doing with that?
I felt that it was, maybe it was a good time to revisit a review of this. We do have some new members in the group that weren't there during the original formulation of the mission of the group. I also, I feel that in order to stay strong as a task force and also to support Pacifica properly, it's good thing to review. It's been 3 years, I think, at least, if not more, since we've looked at that. And I also, you know, I feel a need to really understand what our goals are right now. I'm not sure what our goals are as a task force, and I think it would be helpful to articulate them to, you know, and in some ways I mean short-term goals in terms of what exactly do we feel at this moment needs to be really accomplished by this group.
I had... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
May I make a comment? I agree, and I encourage everyone here when you meet with your local station board to bring these things to the attention of your local boards, because when we talk about, you know, people understanding how important affiliates are, what they do, if we just keep giving regular reports on our success as well as, you know, what we're working on, we might find other people that want to contribute in some way or have, you know, also have a vision as we have. So just I intend to take not only the discussion of our goals and our mission, but the information about the new stations and report this to our local station board next week. I hope you do the same in WPFW, and I hope that when I send out the minutes, I'll try to remind people to bring everybody up to date.
I had asked also that the minutes from the, or the notes, and it wasn't clear to me, Teresa, that whether or not you had gotten them from the affiliate speakout that we had earlier in the year, where the affiliates had made comments or input on the kinds of...
Well, I put them in the minutes, and then Ursula said that, I think that if this is what I remember, Ursula said that I took Dina's notes and combined them with my notes. I did not just take them word for word. I just incorporated them into the minutes. Then I think Ursula said that she and David had also added some notes, and I said, well, I didn't get them, and therefore I didn't put them into the minutes. And I was told that they would be resent, and I frankly have not seen them.
Okay, so what I would like to propose is, Ursula, if you would resend them to Teresa, and I will email David to remind him, and if we could have them attached to the original minutes, and distributed along with the mission, that we could probably develop a more holistic set of goals and priorities than simply trying. There's no way that we can do that tonight. They're just...
Was that the February meeting? I can look and find it, but. Ursula, you know what we're talking about? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do, but I will try and find that. I can't promise that I'm going to be able to find it. There's just a little bit too much in my head, but I will try. I mean, if I can't, I'm sure your minutes are sufficient. I did post, Afi and I spoke yesterday, and I did post before the meeting, I posted what you and Dina had written to the listserv, so it's there. And I'll see if I can find it. If not, I'm sure we can live without it. I'm sure it wasn't that special. But I'll see what I can do.
Well, I remember at the time I looked to see if there was anything from you around the time of our meeting, because I think it was discussed in March. I think we had this meeting in February. At the following meeting, they said, well, what about Ursula and David Beaton's comments? And I said, well, I haven't got them. And so I looked for emails, which I never did receive.
Yeah, okay, I'll look. It's probably there, you know. somewhere, and I'll see if I can find them and send them to you.
All right. Thank you.
But if not, really, it's probably not, you know, it's not a break-or-break-or-break thing.
I'd like to use that as the basis for a discussion next month's meeting and publicize that meeting as serving that function so that we begin to look at what the agenda is going to be for the fall, and especially in conjunction with the proposed budget. So if you would resend your notes, Ursula, that would be helpful. And as I said, I will email David to ask him to do the same thing. I'm sure that with four people taking notes that there's got to be something that somebody overlooked that would flesh it out.
Well, you have the minutes from that meeting, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that I need to do other than wait
attach
for David and Ursula to send me anything that they have.
Right.
Okay.
So so do we have agreement that that would be the approach that we'll take in dealing with this agenda item?
Yeah, I have a suggestion to add to that. I do feel a need to understand better how the task force can better serve the PNB, and I think Teresa was, you know, you were kind of going there already intuitively and in saying the thing about, you know, the need for more reporting.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm just I'm interested in feed, you know, while people, I mean, clearly people are going to be thinking, hopefully, people are going to be thinking about this to prepare for the next meeting, that there's some attention be given to, you know, how the task force can more effectively inform and, you know, interface with the PNB. I feel pretty fuzzy about that because it's a body that I'm not connected to, and I'm not convinced we've been as successful as we could have been in that area. So I just kind of want to add that to the mix, if there's some way we could do that.
Well, just as a quick down and dirty, if you can, Grace, if you've got some ideas off the top of your head that you feel comfortable throwing out since we've got you here, that we can include in our thinking as we prepare for the next meeting, that would be helpful.
In the next the in-person meeting, PNB meeting?
No, the next task force meeting.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was distracted a little bit.
We're just trying to set a framework to prepare for the next meeting to deal with, answer the question of really how do we fulfill the task force's mission.
I think it will be. I think it will be helpful that now that we have a budget that everyone can see. It's a lot easier to see our successes and what we're accomplishing when we have the budget, and also see the direction of where we're going. So, so if the PNB sees that, they can ask their questions, and we can help clarify. Before, when we didn't have a budget, it was really difficult for people to imagine what we did.
Yes. Ursula, will you be able to attend the New York in-person meeting? Are you going to be back
in
New York?
I'm actually not going to be in New York then. If you feel that I should be, I'd be willing to fly back for the time. I'm not convinced that it's going to be worth it. I have a feeling the affiliates program is not going to be the topic of discussion in New York. But if you feel I should be there, I will definitely come.
Yeah, I didn't realize you wouldn't be in New York for the meeting. We can discuss that.
Yeah, it's just whether you think it's worth it for me to come for the meeting.
Yeah, I have to think about it.
Yeah.
But certainly we can discuss the budget. I think this task force should start thinking of how... I think, number one, the task force should be pressuring for adjustments to audio ports so that it's more usable and more user-friendly for the affiliate network. And any other service facilities that are not extremely expensive that would improve the attractiveness of being an affiliate. And then any other type of... I would think that we have a lot of shows that could be syndicated and put on audio port, and there's kind of a missing link between those shows, getting those shows prepped so that they're easily assimilatable by the affiliate network, and so that the there's like a little training component that and hand-holding that needs to be done, I'm finding, between the hosts, the volunteer programmers, and the step of getting their stuff on the audio port. That may be something too difficult and too time-consuming to get into, but I think it would ultimately enrich the affiliate network and create a stronger connection between stations and affiliates. But I don't know how to affect that within our budget constraints.
Well, Grace, partly putting Doug back in, or not Doug, but an assistant back in addresses that partly, because actually a lot of hand-holding does happen in my office,
mm-hmm.
and when there's another person here, there is quite a bit of that, and so you can partly address it with an assistant again.
Yeah, I mean, I know several programmers who've been yelling about wanting to be affiliated. But they won't take the step. I send them your phone number.
You mean not affiliated. You mean syndicated?
Right. I mean syndicated.
Well, yeah, there is that.
And they
that.
Don't take the simple step of dialing the phone.
Yeah,
but
well, there is that.
They spend a half hour complaining to me,
yeah.
but they won't dial Ursula. It's amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, production, some people can produce and some people can't. You know, there is that. There can be more outreach and more hand-holding with an assistant. I mean, that does happen.
Yeah.
Thank you for your feedback. I mean, I feel that, I guess since you're on the call, I'd like to ask you, Grace. I mean, one of my feelings is that one of the goals of the task force initially was to inform the PNB and the station boards about the presence of the affiliates program, because it's not something that's that apparent, you know, locally. And I feel that I feel there would be room for us to formalize that process more so that it would be a more dependable, I just think we could do better at that. Do you think that there's room for that, for more regular reports or some sort of formalized way that reporting happens that creates a stronger presence within the foundation?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm starting to change my mind about something. Sometimes when you think in a vacuum, a little bit in a vacuum, you need to step back and ask questions. So in a vacuum, about a year ago, I put together a document about how listenership could be improved at all our five stations by doing interstation syndication. And because we have really strong, high Arbitron shows at each station, and when I mean strong Arbitrons, I mean 10 to 20 times the listenership of other shows. I mean really high listenership. But it's not that common on our grids. And I'm not just talking about Democracy Now! I'm talking about shows that eclipse Democracy Now! Locally and that are not necessarily of only local interest. But obviously, you know, thinking logically, I figured, well, if we syndicate our strongest shows that are tried and true and have really very strong listenership and are very appealing, we will improve our listenership at all five stations by doing that, by simply sharing our strongest shows. You know, this is like kind of idiot simple in my mind. But what I'm finding independently, and this isn't the GMs talking to each other about this, it's their individual stations, the transition is too strong a measure, too rapid a progression to go from completely frozen grids to changing into interstation syndication. I was missing steps. The first thing that's acceptable to the stations is improving their local programming. The stations seem to want to make improvements locally first. They won't even consider outside programming placed in their station. Now, this is something that I think is very different on the affiliate level, where you have much smaller stations that don't have the capacity. So, for instance, even within the five stations, KPFT is much more willing to take a stronger show from one of the other stations. But WPFW isn't right now. Neither is WBAI too much. So neither is KPFK or even KPFA. A little bit. There's some partnership going on between KPFK and KPFA. KPFA and KPFK, whatever I said. So, there needs to be a continued kind of cross-communication to find out. And sometimes this communication, it has to be done the slow way of one-on-one. You can't figure it out in a group, because people in a group are often way too reserved for you to figure out what they're really thinking. Does that all make sense?
Yeah. Oh, no, totally. I agree with the one-on-one thing. The only way I've been able to make anything happen is through one-on-one communication with people. I think what you're saying makes sense.
I want to get us back on the agenda and to the question that was posed, and that is given that it. Grace, given your work over the past months, how do you see the 10 minutes. Communication between the task force and the P&B? What more information do you think would be helpful to be coming from the task force to the P&B? More or less or different from the manner in which it currently flows? That's the question.
The first thing is the stations are actually starting to make programming changes, the five stations. And at the vanguard of this, to my surprise, besides WBAI to some extent, is KPFT. And I will send those of you who I have email addresses for the proposal and the changes slated to happen at the end of the month at KPFT, because it's a big, huge shift for that station. And what I think would be really good would be to have affiliates communicate to people at the stations, not just the management. The management's too busy to read a lot of communication. But to individual programmers, that they appreciate their shows that are being syndicated and aired at the affiliate level. I think the feedback from affiliated stations to local boards saying, listen, we are using your shows, we appreciate this, we appreciate that, would be one way to form a channel of communication. Not just the affiliate network. The affiliate network is kind of like, you know, it's like an empty house, sort of. it's the people in the house who have to need to communicate to one another. So I think, you know, affiliate directors, radio people who are running radio stations, or even people who are program directors at little affiliate stations or even larger affiliates, if they set up individual relationships, I think that that's one of the first bridges. So that's just something off the top of my head.
The question that comes to my mind is how do we get the information to the task force and then out of the task force to the affiliates? And I guess that Ursula would distribute it once it's into the task force. So then we would ask each general manager, or I could send them an email saying that we're interested in whatever changes that they're making, and if they would send them to our list, then we would distribute them to the affiliates.
You know, also I'd like to suggest something. We have shows that are affiliated, and the hosts are really aware of that, some of the hosts. I would suggest that you ask for a discussion on the air on their shows about the affiliate network and about the unity of Pacifica in general. I think that would be, we are radio, like Sonali Kolhatkar would probably be very amenable to doing that. Maybe Flashpoints, maybe Hard Knock Radio, maybe even Amy Goodman, or any other affiliated shows. Maybe some of the affiliates would be willing to have, I'd be willing to go on a show to talk about it, and I'm sure Ursula would. Ifia, you should offer yourself as a guest to explain the affiliate network. That way, especially if it's a show that's on some affiliate stations, but also on some Pacifica stations, then you have sort of a cross-current and a good utilization of all of our time to start making the affiliates, this relationship realer. I'm on a lot of shows about the elections, and it seems to be creating sort of a cross-current that's interesting.
Okay. That's an intriguing comment, which I won't pursue at this point. But that would, I mean, I'm certainly willing to do that, because I think that the only way that Pacifica can, in fact, know and meet the needs of the affiliates and boost the progress that Ursula has described is by engaging more and more affiliates and strengthening the relationship between the Pacifica network and those stations.
I have a question on that issue, George.
Go ahead, George.
We have some loud things going on, the Sotomayor hearings, and I'm hoping that we're the rally for single payer health care. I don't know what the status of that is, but I know PFW is putting it on. Are the affiliates capable of playing live feeds like that?
Yeah.
Can they do that?
George, some of them are, some of them aren't. But our large affiliates like KGNU, you know, the big ones, they're carrying it live.
And how does it cost us anything for them to do that? Does it cost them anything for them to do that?
No. It costs,
I mean, we're a tiny station. We're carrying it. I can't imagine any state other than stations that are bound by internal programming constraints would have difficulties, but technically all you have to do is be connected to the Internet, and I don't think there's any radio station, whether they're streaming
right.
or not.
That's kind of what I thought, and the quality is good enough you can put it right on the air.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It would be useful if we knew, coming back, how many stations actually did that.
Well, George, then let me have an assistant again.
I'd be glad to. What does it take to do that? I mean, how do
it
we
takes
find
calling,
that out?
It takes calling stations, because stations are never going to give you that information. They're just not.
Uh huh.
I try every time, but it is at the bottom of everybody's priority list. The only way you really know is if you call people. And that's a huge, huge task to do.
If it's done through AudioPort, is there a counter? Is there some way to know who's downloading?
Yes. Well, yes, you can. An AudioPort, you can see that, you can see how many, and you can see where they are. You don't see the actual, you know, location. I mean, you see the geographically, you see where they are, so you can pretty much guess. With a satellite, there's no way of knowing. It's just impossible. But you can, as you know, you can see, yes, you can see it in AudioPort, how many people are taking it.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I'll be happy, George, to ask that people notify us again, but I can promise you they're not going to tell us because they're too busy.
If you sent out an email that asked people to simply reply, so it wasn't a matter of having to answer any questions, but just to hit the reply button.
Hey, listen, I'm happy to do it, but I'm telling you, it's just human nature. People are not going to. But if you go to KGNU.org, if you go to KGNU.org, you'll see on their homepage they're advertising that they're taking the coverage.